So we sing how great God is. Maybe, is God good? First question, right? Okay. Now, could someone just, what if we actually told stories about how God was good? Like, would someone want to say just one, tell me one thing, like it could be this week, could be the last week, where it's like, wow, God is good, he did this, that you'd share? Because like, if we're supposed to be family, like, let's do this, right? What's good that God did? Other than some sort of distant, like, song I sing, but you got some. Okay, cool. Corey's got something. Well, how is God good? Wow. Yeah, so if you couldn't hear that, so what happened is the death of a grandmother who was a believer, so that's a celebration, right? But in that, you guys have been at those funerals where the family are at each other's necks, right? So what he's saying is one of the uncles who had faith, right, was given that kind of faith and seemed to be walking with God at one time, has since really walked away from that and seemed disinterested. I'm adding my words, so correct me if I'm wrong. But now he saw him come back and lead when his family needed him and being like a man of God again. And so, wow, right? So thank you. See, because we got to stop just saying that God's good and not like really believing it. And otherwise, what's the point of being fake? If anything, guys, I say this, we're going through the book of Romans together, and my heart, my hope, our heart is that this would be really a journey that we're taking together. So I hope you could see, like me, as a tour guide of what the Lord is speaking through Paul, not as someone who pretends to have it all figured out, but somebody walking through it with you, right? And we're walking through this together. Grab your Bibles. If you don't have one, there's some in the pockets of the chairs in front of you. I want you to see this, okay? I want you to see this for yourself and not just take my word for it. Let me just offer up a prayer. Lord, I'm excited. You've given me so much to share. I don't even know how to lay it out there, so I leave that to you. I pray that you would use the words that come out of my mouth, Lord. I pray that they would be what you want me to say and that you would use these words to speak to the hearts of the men and the women here that you love, that you know, that you knit together, that you have never left or forsaken, Lord, and that you would draw them nearer to you, and those who've been far off, that you draw them maybe near to you for the first time. And I pray that all that would happen in the fellowship of today, in the worship through song, and through the ministry of your word. I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Okay, Romans 7, turn in your Bibles. Verse 1. Goes like this, or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. Okay, let me pause there for a second. So we're talking about the law again, right? The context of this book is, it's a letter written by Paul, who hasn't been there to their church and their gatherings, but he's writing to the believers in Christ that are in Rome. A lot of them had a Jewish background, lots of the law forced down their throat throughout their life, lots of works-based type of faith in Yahweh, God, and there's this new revelation. Within these churches, there's also groups of people that have had no faith background other than the pagan rituals of their culture, right? So this is this letter laying it out. So he's talking, hey, brothers. So he's talking to who? Believers, okay? He's talking to believers, not people who don't believe. I'm speaking to those believers who also know the law, know that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. So we've got to add to what we had last week. So what we're learning here, what Paul's trying to say to us is understand we had slavery to sin. You were a slave to sin, all of us. And those who tried to come into belief, the way in which we learned to come into belief was slavery and in connection to the law. And I think that's a little lost. And so I asked the Lord, can you teach me a little bit about that? And I began to realize that even in my own faith walk, it's so easy, I don't know about for you, to get it intertwined like my works and God's grace. And it's hard to keep it in the right order, right? Like I do things that God wants me to do and I'm obedient. That's important, yes. But all of that only can come if I truly believe that God loves me. Then I'm going to want to follow him and do what he wants me to do, right? where we get backwards is we begin to get caught in, if I want God to love me, I've got to do all the right things. So just think, because you don't go home and look at a Mosaic law, that you don't have law that's running and dictating your life. Because I catch myself in that. Example, you ever wake up with like this anxious feeling? Yeah, right? You ever like, oh, it's just like in your stomach, and you don't even know what it is, because there's nothing you know of that you've done wrong, right? It's not like you're gonna, it's kind of that feeling like either something's gonna go wrong, or uh-oh, I'm found out, right? Like you stole cookies from the cookie jar. But I didn't steal any cookies from the cookie jar. I don't know anything that's gonna come unravel, but sometimes you just wake up with that feeling, and as I pray about it, it's like, wow, it's this fear. And it's made its way into most of us. We operate under this fear, like, how am I going to perform today? How am I going to act? Am I going to do the right things? How is everyone going to respond? It's like, it's the law, right? You don't wake up from this core feeling of God knit me together, loved me, created me, and no matter what happens, he's got my back today. That's perfect love, which perfect love casts out fear. But the law is still at work in us, right? If we're not careful, the reminders that church gives us, that we give ourselves, that the enemy accuses us, tries to take us back into that slavery. So here's what Paul is saying. Understand, slavery to sin and the law do not have a hold on you anymore after death. In a real literal sense, that's how you get out of slavery, right? If you're a slave, when you die, you're no longer a slave. They can't command a dead man. Okay, Paul, well, how helpful is that, right? Because, okay, you know, some of you guys are like, well, I'm in my 30s or 20s or 40s, and I'm not dead yet, and I feel like I have a lot more years. So does that mean I'm going to be dealing with this till I die? Well, hold on. We're going to keep going there. Verse 2, now he's going to give us an example. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she's released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. You guys know that's kind of how the Bible outlines that. Your marriage ends at the death of one of the spouses. If it ends before that, then there's sin involved, and it hasn't gone the right way God's designed it. Okay? So sorry if you got a divorce, I don't mean to offend you. This is God's way. This is the way it works in God's kingdom. So he's using this as a metaphor. He's like, guys, listen. It takes death to free you from slavery to sin. It takes death to free you from slavery to the law. And he goes, it's like this. It's like what it says. Hey, a married woman is bound to her husband while she lives if she's agreed to be married to him. But if her husband dies, continuing in verse 3, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she's not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who's been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for our God. So I'll pull this part out. So it says, you have also died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him. Okay, this sounds like science fiction. Let's just be honest. So I'm dying to the law through the literal body of Christ, which died for me. And the whole purpose of me dying to that law was not that I would be free to serve myself, but now I have a new master. I belong to someone new, which is Jesus. So this is Will's words, okay? Because maybe this might not be helpful. It's like Paul saying this. Feeling right, feeling close to God and complete doesn't come from rules or doing things for God. It's like that feeling, right? If I get up today and I do the right things as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, as a son of God, then I can feel good about myself. That's still the path of the law. Do you see that? So what Paul is saying is like, if you want to feel complete, if you want to feel right and close to God, it's not about what you do that's going to get you to that place. See, that's religion. And in churches, we love to dog on religion because that's kind of the new thing. We realize the failings of religion, but I think it creeps in. What can I do as a man to get to God? That's religion. But the truth that Paul is trying to tell us is for those who believe. And so this is for you if you believe. If you're on the fence or you don't believe, you should be excited that you could get this. And you should be, Will, today at the end, you should say, Will, how can I get this? Because this is what my life needs, and then we can talk, okay? But if you have this, believe this, you don't belong to sin anymore or the law. Who do you belong to? Christ, right? The one who died for you. Okay, awesome. You guys are listening. We're awake. This is good. Okay, here we go. You belong to Jesus. Completeness is being close to him. The completeness that you're longing for, even if you guys have marriage or friends, like I've got my wife, and I'll tell you what, when things are like good, I feel real complete when I'm close to her. And I don't think that's a bad thing, but it's not a complete way to live. Because, you know, I can be a jerk, right? I can be in a bad mood. She'd never be a jerk, but she could be in a bad mood, right? She could have a bad day. She could get sick. These things could happen. If my hope every day is on her or the friendships I have with some of you guys here, if I'm in a bad place with you, you know, Ross and I, you know, hey, if we're in a bad place, is my hope gone or is it not? It can't be that. My hope is in my closeness to Christ because I belong to him. What does that feel like? Probably a million different things. I bet you could tell me better than I could tell you. And some of you, you know, I've been praying with people where it's like they get in, they can just see themselves in the Lord's lap, you know, like a child or like a friend who's playing. When Brandy and I have met with people, and even in our own experiences of prayer, it's amazing the things you see. But closeness, what we should be pursuing is not the right works, but the closeness to the one who we belong to, Jesus. So verse 5, Romans 7, while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Right? While we were in the flesh, all these passions, all the things that we were doing, they were slowly marching us towards death. Death in this life and death spiritually and eternally. But now we're released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What's that mean? The new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. Don't you wish I just had like five steps for you right here that would just make that completely clear and easy to understand, and you'd be like this, like Yoda-level spiritual being with Jesus everywhere that you walk. There would be like this light about you. I mean, that'd be awesome if I could give that to you, but I can't in these words. But this is what Paul is telling, and it's kind of snuck into this scripture. It's kind of hiding there. I think a lot of us have missed it, you know, because if we look back at Romans 6, some things that were happening in Romans 6, and this is a letter, so it's all meant to be together, right? These divisions of chapters and stuff, those are added later. This is a letter that was meant to read together, so I'm afraid I can't forget what we've just learned. So Romans 6, the first, my Bible gives the first heading, like, dead to sin, alive to God. And what he's telling us, what Paul's telling us is, at some level, you guys have to believe. There's this believe word, and believing has an action behind your thoughts, right? I believe that this chair is sturdy enough to hold me, and I can say that, but until I do something where I risk that not being true, I'm not proving I believe. Does that make sense? Like, sure, that chair will hold you. Well, will you sit on it? Well, no. Do you really believe? I believe that Jesus can save me and change my life. Well, will you lean into him and let him do it? Well, no, but I really believe. No, you don't believe. That's not believing. You think. So believing is this. It's understanding. He's saying, listen, yeah, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And if we follow our sin, in the end, we'll get to death. If we follow God and his grace, in the end, we'll have life and have it abundantly. That's the path. But he said, but understand, you have to believe that you are alive to Christ and dead to sin. And those are such church words, right? But here's what it is. It's like, if Jesus won everything, what does Randy have to do? What can Randy do for Mark if Jesus is the only way you're going to get saved, the only way you can love this woman, even any resemblance, the only way, right, you can be a friend, the only way you can stay away from sin, the only way that you can get up each day and even breathe every breath? What can Randy do for you? I mean, really nothing, right? It's like, Lord, they've asked Jesus, like, what can we do? Well, hey, would you love God, first of all, Randy? Would you love him with everything that you've got? And then secondly, which is equally important to the first, is from that love, could you love Mark as you love yourself? If you did that, you would do everything you can to help him. Of course, there'd be boundaries, right? You're not going to go pay his mortgage for him necessarily. I mean, right? You know what I mean? There's certain boundaries that God may or may not want you to do. But if you're loving him, that's the best you can do. You can't save him. So we get so caught up on, like, what can I do to save myself? You just can't. You just have to believe it, right? You have to believe that God loves you. You have to be willing to receive that. And it sounds so easy, but it's so hard. Because the constant accusation is, no, you're not really forgiven. It's not that simple. Well, it is simple, but it's hard and difficult. Anyone trying to walk with God, we know this, right? It can be difficult even though it seems so simple. And so in Romans, it's talking about that, and he used this word, which was the focus of one of our sermons here, was consider yourself. And so I think we need to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Okay, but now that we have that, then Paul's adding on this new thing. You want to get rid of sin? You want to get rid of the law and slavery to that? Die. If you die, you're free from it. So, okay, here's the problem then. Here's my question. Okay, how can I die to escape my slavery to sin and the law but still live? What do you think the answer is? What can I do? What do you guys think the answer is? You tried the Jesus, that's good. That's a good, the Jesus is, what's that? Get crucified, like literally get crucified. Yeah, right? Literally get crucified, right? That wouldn't do anything. But yeah, you'd be free from that sin, right? If you didn't have your flesh anymore. But then, I mean, it's kind of like, it's like we live a faith, the way that we walk out our faith, you would think that God's plan was this. Like, as soon as you, like, raise your hand at the Billy Graham crusade, then it's like, bzz, bzz, he beams you up and you're done. Okay, I'm done now, right? Like, it's good. But that's not what he's having. He's having us struggle and walk through this together because the world is lost and dying. And you and I, you know, are not only working out our own salvation and fear and trembling with the Holy Spirit within the context of fellowship, we're also telling other people what we've been through, and we're witnesses to the power of God and what he can do in a life. And so you can't go home yet. So you can't just go search for the Hale-Bopp comet, okay, and drink the Kool-Aid. You can't just die. That's not the answer. The answer is this, okay? I can't do it. Well, that's really hopeful, Will. Thank you for all your help with this great answer. No, I can't do it. I'd have to die and then be raised back up to life, to a new life. So, here's the plan. So Jesus had to go before me and physically die and then physically be raised from the dead and to be the first one, the forerunner for all of us that are his. We get to go through that process. There's going to be, death of the physical self and physical resurrection. But at now, we have a chance to be dead to sin and alive to God. But we have to choose daily to die to these sins. And if you don't believe it's really done, you won't choose that. Because sin is still present, right? It's still inviting us to join it for its short-term pleasures in the midst of long-term pain. And we have to say, no, I'm dead to that. I'm not going to choose that. Well, Ed, this is getting confusing, man. Like, my head's hurting thinking about it. Paul said this, though, in Romans 6. Let me show you this. Romans 6:19, he says, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. So, Mike, what this did for me is to be honest with you, there's been a little bit of heartburn for me because, see, I've grown up in church, and, like, I've heard a lot of Romans preached. I've read Romans a lot, and there's a lot of really rich, good stuff about, like, okay, the realization of how bad our sin is. It's in Romans, right? How bad our sin is, and how without Jesus we're beyond hope, but also how we're supposed to walk with him, how we're supposed to act and change who we are. And all of that, honestly, the way that we end up reading it and teaching it gets us thinking we got to do something. Do you ever get that from Romans? I got to do something. And this time through, I saw this little verse here, kind of hidden in there. And what I find fascinating about it, guys, is the reason why what we're getting is a lot of these things you can do to avoid sin is because he knows he couldn't tell us everything because of our natural limitations. So all of this really in Romans so far has been, you guys need to understand there's a problem, it's sin, it's everyone's problem. And there's a way out. It's Jesus. Now, if you can get to that point and accept it, now we'll start talking. But for now, I'm only speaking in human terms. Because you can't handle what's next yet. And maybe someone else would read that and not get that. But that's what the Lord spoke to me. And now that makes sense. And then he just said in Romans 7, the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. So Brandy and I were, it's going to sound really spiritual. We don't always do this, okay? So don't feel bad if you're not doing this, but we actually happened to be reading the Bible with our daughter at the time, okay? This isn't to shame you, but we came across this verse. We'd read 100 times, and Brandy had pointed out, like, wow, did you see that in that verse? And I want to share it with you. It's from Luke 8. Luke 8, and it's verses 11 and 12. And do you know who's speaking in Luke 8? Jesus, great. Yeah, nice, gold star. Jesus is speaking. And this is the parable, we call it the parable of the sower is the title that they put on there. And Jesus said this. This is the meaning of the parable, right? He's letting them in on what he was talking about. The seed is the word of God. Okay, the word here for word is not like the written word, but the spoken word of God. So the Bible is the written down spoken word of God, right? So the word of God is the seed. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Why I bring that to you right now is I believe this is actually a principle of reality and truth. You can come to church every Sunday, you're going to hear a lot of things. And if God doesn't prepare the soil, if he doesn't apply it, if he doesn't grow it in you, it can be stolen. And so no matter what you think about Romans, like first I want to stop and just pray about this application. That God would speak it to us if he wants you to grab this, but also that it'd be protected from being stolen because we do have an enemy who wants to steal this, okay? So let me just say, Lord, in my imperfect words, Lord, I ask you to come. As you said, the seed is your word, and we're reading from your word. And those of us along the path, we hear your word, the seed that's scattered. And some of us, we might even grab it and we might, I don't know, be excited or like, wow, it might get us thinking, and then it could be stolen away. And so, Lord, I pray your protection, because you're stronger than anything that's in this world. You're stronger than my fear. You're stronger than my insecurity. You're stronger than the accusation of others, the accusations of our enemy. And so, Lord, I ask you to speak to us through this scripture as you will. Protect it and make it so, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Now, gentlemen, can you give me a hand with what we're doing here? So I love to do a little illustration here. So the problem that I'm having is we're going through Romans, lots of really cool stuff about sin, about repentance, about works. Lots of things about making a choice, like choose to believe, choose to do the right things. The danger, what I don't want to fall into, is beginning to get you to think about what you can do. Because some of us have been in conversations, and I think we tend to get too confident in our ability to do something, right? It's up to me. Either God's mad at me because I made the wrong choice, and or like, yay, because I made the right choice. And so we begin to carry the burden of our life, right? We begin to carry the burden of our life, and it has significant weight, but I'm able to carry it. And, you know, if I was to carry this around with me everywhere I went, eventually it creates some kind of pain. I'd have to take ibuprofen or, you know, maybe drink more wine than I need to deal with that pain. And this is how many of us live, right? We would have a certain amount of pain and burden, but every Sunday we would go and the pastor would preach from Romans about how we're sinners and the penalty of sin is death, but that we're forgiven. And so we try to, the best we can, grab onto that hope in Christ. But ultimately, we're still dragging the burden of our life around. Make sense? Okay. This is what you think, because you're thinking in human terms. And so you end up waking up some days in this burden, like I did a few days this week, where you got this pit in your stomach and you don't know where it's from. And I think what God is showing me is it's this. You've continued to grab up, right, and take your own burden and look at yourself like, how am I doing? And then it creates environments because of the discomfort over time for sin to creep in. It almost becomes a little necessary to cope. And for some of you, this has taken lots of forms, maybe self-reliance, control, fear. Maybe you become insecure or arrogant. Maybe you've had to, you know, abuse sexuality like you shouldn't. Maybe you've just had to be entertained all the time. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's anger. Maybe you've hid yourself away. All these things that you've done. Because after some time, it gets heavy. And if you read Romans and you don't see these few things where he's inviting us to walk in the Spirit, he's inviting us to understand there's more to learn. But the first thing I need you to get is you need a Savior. And so more than anything, so far in our journey through Romans, I want you guys to see we need a Savior. I need a Savior. What can I do, Randy, for you? What can I do for any of you if God's not behind it? You want to be a Christian? Start there. You need a Savior. Well, he also said, understand, I'm speaking to you in human terms. Because you can't see, you don't understand what's going on. Well, I mean, you look in the scripture and you see God, you know, had a family even before Adam and Eve, the heavenly host, and some of these people fell and they became opponents. And you read in the Old Testament about all these things that are happening. And Paul tells us, understand, like in a different letter, he's like, understand, you know, about all these things that are happening spiritually. You don't see. It's like the craziest sci-fi movie you've never seen. The battle for your heart, the battle for your life, the battle for your control. Because like Paul said, whatever we obey becomes our master. So, hey, Corey, why don't you come on up here? So here's Corey, right, you guys? You guys know Corey? The reality is Corey looks at his life, and maybe he's been in church, and he's thinking about being a good man. I know him well enough to know that he wants to be a good man. He wants to be a good father in the context of his life. He's a father, a husband, an employee. you know, I know that God has called him out into ministry, and so there's that kind of pressure. There's a lot of weight for him, and he's strong. I mean, look at him, he's strong. Sun's out, guns out, baby, you got it. But eventually, he might think he's carrying his own life, but let me let you in. If you could pull the veil back, what you begin to see is things have stacked up in life. I mean, anyone who's lived 20, 30 years, and not to demean even a teenager, but it's just going to compound more. The disappointments, the hurts, the broken relationships, maybe addictions, failures. Some of them your fault, some of them not your fault. And then there's this attack, right, that's just like this world wants to destroy you. It wants to destroy you. If all of us guys got together and talked long enough, all the men would feel something like, you know what, I feel less than every other guy, and I feel like I'm not doing good enough, and I'm not good enough. Every one of you feels that. And pretty much every woman, until God gets a hold of you, is going to feel certain things like, yeah, I'm not good enough, and I'm not lovely enough, and I'm not cherished enough. And it started like as a baby, and it continues to go into the teenage years because high school is brutal, and then you get into marriage, and that doesn't make it better, and then the world doesn't make it better, and TV doesn't make it better, internet. And what it is, it's just stacking all this stuff. And the truth is, all that becomes a burden on yourself. And so us as the church saying, Corey, why don't you just push your life forward, right? Go ahead and give it a push, right? Like, look, he's moving it a little bit. He's moving it a little bit. Okay, cool. I don't want you to hurt yourself, man. So you see how much he could move it? Very little. I mean, it's an imperfect illustration, but what I'm telling you is everything that we're reading in Romans would be incomplete if we don't consider this new way in the Spirit. And so if you want to walk with Christ, I think an important part of this is the ministry of Christ in your life, because he came to set you free. And so what ends up happening is a man or a woman who realizes that they can't do it themselves. And if they can simply take on what they can, which is like, hey, be faithful to God. Walk with him. Talk with him. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying now, right? Now that you see that you need a Savior, take advantage of that. Lean into the Savior. Begin to walk in the new life. And what ends up happening is there's ministry. We can do this for each other, okay? This is probably the place where it can happen most, because I know this ministry has happened to me through some of you. And God has done these things where he's begun to realize, like, all these things of the past, he begins to unpack, right? He begins to kind of unpack and take these burdens. And it's weird. It might sound like there's a secret, but almost there's nothing better you could do than pray and read the Bible. And you begin to read the Bible, and he begins to tell you things like, I expected the world to be this way. You shouldn't lose hope. And then Jesus is like, well, you feel like, you know, doing things God's way isn't working. He's like, understand, they will hate you because they hated me. And I don't know, God, I just don't seem good enough, right? Maybe I'm not strong enough or big enough or beautiful enough. And he's like, do you understand? Like, I created you exactly who you are, right? I knit you together, and I cherish you, and I love you. And it's hard to take. It's hard to understand and receive. But once you begin to let him minister to you, and there's really no better way, honestly, that I can think of, it's why I'm here, that we come together, because some of these seeds will be stolen from you when you're told. And you might not be ready to receive it. So I'm going to tell you again and again and again on Sundays, and you need to tell each other. And sometimes you're going to be eating a meal together, and sometimes there's going to be a funeral, we're going to cry, and sometimes there's going to be a wedding, and we're going to celebrate. But little by little, God's going to begin unpacking these things, right? And then now it's like, now that Corey's carrying the burden of his life, give that a little push. It's a little better, right? It's a little better, and over time, he keeps unpacking these things. This new way in the Spirit. It's not the law. Because the law is like, Corey, you know, if you would get lower. Like, if you get lower and you push this certain way, you're going to be able to do much better. And honestly, it might feel like he might get some more ground. And then what happens, right? Hop up on this chair if you would. You want to sit up there for me? Then what happens? The minute you think you're making headway, right? You've had a great day, right? Then the thief comes to steal, and then you're trying to push again, and you're like, boom. Okay, there we go. I don't want you to hurt yourself. The point was made. Do you see what I'm saying? You can hop on down. Thanks. And so I think the Christian walk is from love comes all the things that we can do. From love of God comes receiving this, like, you know what, I'm with you. And then Jesus did one better. He said, I know that you guys, this is Will's words, he told his disciples, where are you going? He's like, I got to leave. Where are you going? You're the dude that turned water into wine, that made food happen, raised some dude from the dead. Like, yeah, you know, these guys said they were on the hill with you, and they saw like God, they saw the light shining. Like, where are you going, man? What are we going to do? And he's like, listen, I got something better for you. If I stayed, it'd be worse for you. The Father, even though I go, he's going to send a helper for you. And this helper would not only remind you of everything, right? The author of this was the Holy Spirit, right? He spoke to the people of God who wrote it down, who we have, the written word of God, the Holy Spirit, who's going to remind you of everything that I said, lead you all into all truth, be your helper, your comforter, right? Your counselor and guide. And he's going to begin unpacking that, but he does one better. He's like, let's do this together. And then we navigate this life together, right? We're not alone. And then he does one better. He asks another brother to come on up and help push. And pretty soon the burden becomes lighter. Thank you, guys. You can go to Will's back. Thanks. It's a silly illustration, but it's a powerful truth. We can't just read the word and not apply it. We can't just read the word, really contemplate it, and continue to be unchanged. You know, Brandy and I, we were having that conversation, and we were talking about all of these things in Romans that you have to do. Wow. See, because even though we're dead to sin, do you still see sin around? Right? And one thing we've just learned in Romans 6 is the reason why believers, Christians who've been freed to sin, still struggle with sin, it's this simple. We choose to sin. We choose to sin. At some point, if you want to beat any sin, you've got to choose not to sin. Even something that's had a hold on you for decades, like it would have to start with one day saying no. Your freedom, your free will, as much as it frees you from the grip of sin, it also frees you to choose sin. But, you know, Brandy and I are talking. The problem with that is then I leave you with this feeling like you're failing. I know it's so much more difficult than that. And I also believe very strongly that one of the main reasons that we sin is we just don't believe we're free from it. Or maybe we're so addicted to the small piece of pleasure that comes from that sin or comfort that it's impulsive for us to do it. And then, you know, and then Brandy brought this up. She goes, it's self-control. Yeah, there is a self-control piece to it. And she's like, what about Galatians? I thought, huh, you're onto something here. See, so I am telling you, Paul is telling you, that our choices matter. That sin is a real problem. And that our hope is not the law. We don't hide in the doing of good things. It's not our hope. Our hope is in God's grace. But in God's grace, we don't just sit comfortable with sinning and say, let's keep sinning so that more grace can come. It's going to take self-control. Well, when I say that word, like self-control, that sounds a lot like, what's Natalia going to do about this, right? That's the problem, because our understanding is wrong. Check this out. Galatians 5, verse 19 says this. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. How is a Christian supposed to look at that? Well, I think one thing is, if you look at that and that stuff looks good to you, then I'm telling you what's leading you in your motivation would be your flesh, would be the lust of your eyes, the desires, right, of your body. It'd be sin. It looks like social media to me, I don't know. Right? Looks like our American culture, right? Like I catch myself in that a little bit too. Like, oh, that looks like a great party. Well, I don't know, what are they doing at that party? What kind of, right? If you ever caught yourself in that when you were younger, you're like, wow. And then God changes your heart where you begin to say, that's incomplete and not good. Well, and then it goes on, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and there's the word, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, there it is again, with its passions and desires, since we live by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So what do we do with that? I've wrongly thought about this before too. I've wrongly thought about, okay, you know what we need, guys? Josh, I should just be more loving. I should just be, right? You catch that? Have more peace and be more forbearant and like self-control. Like, Alex, we can do it. We can do it. We could just be patient and kind and gentle and have self-control. The problem with this, Sam, is this simply says it's not anything you can do. Right? So the wrong thing is, like, you and I begin to look at this list, and every day when you go to bed at the end of the night, you're like, okay, self-control, check. Yeah, I did that. Love, yeah, I did that. No, this is not how this works. Those who walk in the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit. What's that look like? I mean, because you still have this. You still have, I mean, I'd love to tell you that you're simply sitting here just like floating along and Jesus is always carrying this load for you. I mean, he is there. But at some point, sin is coming for you. You still have to make a choice. So what walking in the Spirit is being focused on the right things in such a way that you're praying, you're asking for God's guidance, you're trying to hear from him, you're careful of what you're putting in your mind, what you're doing with your life, because what you want to come out of you is the fruit of the Spirit. And if I want self-control, I don't try to be more self-controlled. I try to be more connected to God. And when I am, and when I'm full of him, what's going to come out of me is more self-control. Well, Will, why did you chase this big rabbit trail? Because I feel like we've got to take a step back, okay, when we're going through this. Yes. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. Without him, there's really no hope. And at one time, you were a slave to sin. You were a slave to sin. You almost couldn't help it, right? In the world around you, if you did what they told you to do, it would lead to destruction. But now, because of Jesus, you're dead to sin and alive to God. But you better believe that it's true. Because later today, tomorrow, the next day, sin's going to come back for you. It's going to invite you to come back and be its friend. It's going to invite you to let it be your master And you're going to have to choose not to obey sin, but to obey God. And what I'm presenting to you, how we do this, is we've got to push in. I don't know a better way to say it. Just push in to God. If you want to do something, just push in. Like, what do I do today? Push in. What's that look like? Do you pray? Did you sing praises to God? Did you read your Bible? Did you talk with other believers? Did you consider what who God is, what he's doing? Did you begin to look at your life around you and see these blessings? If we begin to do this and share this with one another, we're going to have, it's going to be less difficult to walk with God. And when that opportunity to make the wrong choice comes, then we can have the self-control to say, no, I'm dead to that. Like I said, I know that this is a lot. I know that it's a lot. But I have to share this with you. So what do you want, Will? What's your dream? Why did you say all of this? What I love to do is we're going to sing a couple more songs. But before we do, I just want to pray. I know Reggie's going to go down with the lights for us. I'd like you to think back on this table as we pray. The burdens of your life didn't come in one day. All the things that have happened to you, all your experiences, all the things you see that the thief has stolen from you, all the hurt that sin has caused, all the pain of other people's choices, those didn't happen in a single day. And so for me to say, hey guys, why don't you just, we're all going to close our eyes, raise your hand, and then everything's all better. It doesn't work that way. But I'd like you to consider, think about those chairs stacked up. Think about all the things weighing you down, weighing your ability to walk with God because they seem to be in the way of you. Like, I love God, and I'm worshiping him, and I go to church, but I'm still just so stuck in this area of my life. And my prayer is that maybe that picture would help. You could see that stack of chairs. And so I think as believers, as people of God, as Christ followers, the best thing that we can do is depend on God. All those words I said, like all the things that Paul wrote, in the end, it just comes back to the fact that we need a Savior and we need each other. And so if we as people would just humble ourselves before him and say, God, I don't even know what each one of those chairs represent, but that's how it feels. Like I hear these sermons and I want to do the right things, but then I'll go make a bad choice today. And I get 10 steps and then I'm kicked in the gut and I'm knocked back. And so I think if we can just simply start, because Jesus is the only one that can do all this, if we can simply start and say, Jesus, man, like, bring me to the place in your word. Speak to me when I pray. Surround me by people and start to bring clarity of those chairs. Just close your eyes for a minute. Like, and I'm just going to pray it like this. Jesus, we want to be people that follow you. We want to love you with everything that we have. And until we do that, until we begin to receive your love, until we believe there's nothing in the way, we're going to be powerless to love anyone else or even ourselves. So Jesus, we take this moment right now to focus on you and ourselves and our relationship. Jesus, I could just see myself like Corey had to push on this table. And sometimes it just starts moving. And I feel good because what I'm doing seems to be working. But then all of a sudden it's just weighed down and I'm knocked back. And I just picture those chairs, like, what's getting in the way of me following you fully. And so, Lord, I pray that you would leave no stone unturned and not stop short to begin to reveal. It's a dangerous prayer, I know, but to reveal what these chairs are and help me to begin to unstack those. Free me up, Lord, and that you would walk with me. Walk with me as I carry the burdens of this life, that with you they would be lighter. Lord, just remind me each moment as I'm doing this, as I'm pushing forward, as I'm sitting with you and unpacking the burden of these chairs, that I wouldn't lose sight of where you're at and what you're saying and what you're doing, that I would walk with you in the Spirit, that I would walk step in step, not getting ahead to be afraid, not getting ahead to be conceited, not getting ahead to be overconfident, to be dependent on you step by step. So Lord, I pray a blessing of strength over my brothers and sisters here, that you would strengthen them with your strength, that you'd give them your eyes to see, that they would be people who are unpacking these things in their life and throwing out the lies and getting healing where healing needs to be taken. You are the one who heals. Jesus, so as we sing these songs, we want to celebrate the freedom you've already given us. Being in your presence, knowing the work that you're doing right now. And Lord, I am confident that you who began a work in me will see it through.